This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about the concept of ease and moderation in Islam. And it is an important subject. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And thus we have made you a moderate community or a moderate nation that should follow the middle path. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to warn about excessiveness and al-ghulu and al-tatarruf and exaggeration in the religion when practicing, you know, the religion. So it is a concept that needs to be clarified, that needs to be explained. And it has a different, you know, it could be discussed from different angles, from different perspectives. You know, when we talk about moderation, we could talk about moderation when doing the acts of ibadah. We might talk about moderation in behavior and social interaction, the way we interact with people, when we are doing da'wah, when we are discussing matters of disagreement. Moderation, for example, in matters of moderation, in matters of disagreement. People when disagree, not all of them, but some people when they disagree with other people, they might neglect some etiquettes and some manners, and they show some lack of, you know, maybe respect to each other. So all these things are important. Also moderation in matters of aqidah, especially takfir, the matters of takfir, charging other people with kufr or labeling them with kufr. Is it something easy and everyone has the ability or has the right to do it, or it comes with a lot of restrictions and there are rules, and actually ulama have to deal with these issues. So these issues are really important, and we see that many people are confused about this concept, and inshallah we'd like to talk at least about, you know, some issues in this halaqah, and hopefully in the future we'll talk about this subject from different angles, inshallah. And before I start this halaqah in the beginning, I would like to emphasize something, that Islam as a revealed religion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a moderate religion. It doesn't mean that there is something wrong with the religion of Allah and we are trying to make it more moderate. This is something that has to be clear. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He said, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in different ahadith warned his ummah about extremism or about exaggeration or excessiveness when practicing the religion. So it is in itself, if you follow the Quran and the Sunnah, eventually you will be following a path of moderation, the middle path. So it is a balanced way of life. And moderation here means the middle path between, as I said, between laxity and between excessiveness and extremism. Most people are inclined towards laxity. We have to be honest. Most people are inclined towards laxity. Those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed, they maintain a course of, you know, the middle path. They keep themselves on the middle path. There are people who are inclined all the time because of their mentality or their psychology. They are inclined towards harshness, towards exaggeration, and maybe extremism. And I would like here to emphasize this meaning, as I said, through some proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah. And so we don't use our personal interpretations. We try to look at what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about this concept. It's not nice if we talk about something, a religious matter, and we keep introducing our own personal, you know, interpretations. No, we go back to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about this concept, and I would like to start this halaqa with a hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari in Kitab al-Iman, the Book of Iman, the chapter of Bab ad-Dinu Yusrun. وقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحب الدين إلى الله الحنيفية السمحة. So this hadith is found in Sahih al-Bukhari in the book of Iman, in the chapter Ad-Dinu Yusr, the religion is easy. And then Rasulullah ﷺ said in this hadith, إِنَّ الدِّينَ يُسْرٌ وَلَنْ يُشَادَّ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ فَسَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالْغَدْوَةِ وَالرَّوْحَةِ وَشَيْءٍ مِنَ الدُّلْجَةِ وفي رواية زاد القصد القصد تبلغ. هذا الحديث موجود في صحيح البخاري. And it was related by Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu. So he said in this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this religion is easy. And no one becomes harsh and strict in the religion without it overwhelming him. So he will be defeated at the end. If he becomes harsh and strict while practicing the religion, he will be at the end overwhelmed and he might give up. But we'll try to go, inshallah, to study the words and the terms used by Rasulullah ﷺ in this hadith, because this is a beautiful hadith. It's a beautiful piece of advice, and it gives us a vision, yani how to go about things, how to perform ibadat. It teaches us a great methodology. So Rasulullah ﷺ said here, after he said, no one becomes harsh and strict in religion without it overwhelming him. He said, so fulfill your duties, saddidu, waqaribu, as best you can, and rejoice, abshiru, and rely upon the efforts of the morning and the evening, and a little at night, you will reach your goal. So, as you can see, Rasulullah ﷺ is giving us instructions how to manage our time, and how to take advantage of good times, of ibadah during the day. We'll talk about it at the end. But he, in this hadith, basically, he defined for his ummah, you know, the concept of ease, as you can see, the concept of ease and moderation in its proper Islamic context. So it's not coming from, this is not the opinion of a scholar, a specific scholar, it's not the ijtihad of so and so. This is the definition that was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I said, we don't need any personal interpretation here, or the definition of any other scholar, when we have things that were clarified by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and well defined by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So based on this hadith, what are the defining qualities of this path, a path of ease and moderation? First of all, we have to pay attention to the warning that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made in this hadith. He said, لَنْ يُشَدَّ أَحَدٌ الدِّينَ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. Ibn Hajar, rahmatullah alayh, a great scholar of hadith, he's the best scholar who explained Sahih al-Bukhari. He wrote an explanation about Sahih al-Bukhari in around 13 volumes or 14 volumes. He used to be called named Amir al-Mu'mineen fi al-Hadith, the Prince of Believers in Hadith, Ibn Hajar. So he said, وَالْمَعْنَى لَا يَتَعَمَّقُ أَحَدٌ فِي الْأَعْمَالِ الدِّينِيَّةِ وَيَتْرُكُ الرِّفْقَ إِلَّا عَجَزَ وَانْقَطَعَ فَيُغْلَبُ. He said the meaning of this statement from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no one would exaggerate or goes to extremes when practicing the religion and leaves gentleness. He doesn't, you know, he's not gentle with himself. And and if he focuses in ibadat, we'll know about some examples, like مثلا Abdullah ibn Amr and his story with his wife after he got married. Radiallahu anhu, this is another beautiful story that was mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. And Rasulullah ﷺ dealt with it. He dealt with him and he taught him how to keep himself on a moderate path, on the middle path. So here, Ibn Hajar, he said, لا يتعمق أحد, no one goes to extremes when practicing, you know, the religion, ويترك الرفقة, and leaves gentleness, except that he will give up. He will not be able to continue on this path. وَانْقَطَعَ, he will give up. فَيُغْلَبْ, and he will be overwhelmed or defeated. And you know this, you know, people. Some people might take this course because they believe that they have to be perfect, or they expect sometimes other people to be perfect. They expect their brothers and sisters in the masjid to be perfect. So if someone makes a mistake in front of them, they become very upset and very angry, and they might start shouting. We know, we all say that, oh, no one is perfect. But sometimes when we deal with our children, we deal with them, we treat them like they have to be perfect. And they are not allowed to make any mistakes. But they are young children, young human beings who are learning. We know that we made mistakes, we're young, and we had our challenges, right, when we are young. So, but when we become parents, sometimes we forget that we were young and we made mistakes, you know, and we are humans, and we expect them to be perfect. So, you know, difficulty comes from our own understanding as human beings, wrong understanding. You go back to the Quran and the Sunnah, we'll find that, you know, this religion is beautiful, it's easy, and it's a moderate path, as Rasulullah ﷺ said. So here he said, فَسَدِّدُوا. So fulfill your duties with moderation. We would explain it this way. Fulfill your duties with moderation. Now, سَدِّدُوا, the word سَدِّدُوا, the Arabic word سَدِّدُوا, literally it means to aim to your target. Let's say you have an arrow shooting board in front of you. Do you aim at the blue color, or at the red color, or at the core area, which is yellow, right? Usually aim at the yellow area, the core area, in the middle, right? So you aim at your target. So this is the meaning of the word saddidu. It means here, when we talk about religion, matters of religion, direct your intention and your efforts towards one direction, which is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling your Islamic duties. So this is a proof here. Now, this is a misconception that we deal with it now. This is a proof that moderation does not mean laxity, does not mean looseness in the matters of the religion, does not mean neglecting the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or neglecting the Islamic duties. It does not mean, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, try your best, aim at your target. You should have a goal as a Muslim, as a believer. You have to direct your efforts, your intention towards that goal. So فَسَدِّدُوا, saddid like someone who is trying to shoot with an arrow and he is aiming at the target, which is the yellow area, as I said. And then we added here the term with moderation. Why? Because this is the understanding of some classical scholars, and one of them is Ibn Hajar himself. Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi, who explained the Sahih al-Bukhari, he explained the word saddidu. He said, saddidu means in Arabic, ilzamu sadad, wa huwa sawab, min ghayri ifratin wa la tafreet. And then he said, qala ahlul lugha, as-sadadu huwa at-tawassutu fil amal. So Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi, he said, ilzamu as-sadad, keep yourself firm on this path of wasatiyya, moderation. And he said, it is a sawab actually. It is, you do what is right. So you need some knowledge here. You have to know what is right. What is halal, what is haram. What are your obligations? What are your duties? And what is recommended? So if someone makes a mistake with something recommended, you don't make a big deal of it. And you make a fight, you fight with him because he missed something that is recommended. So you have to know, you have to look at your priorities, what are the pillars, what are obligations, what are recommended. You need some knowledge here, right? So this why, that's why Ibn Hajar, he said, as-sadadu huwa sawab. As-sawab, you know the right thing. And you do the right thing at the same time. If we are praying dhuhr together, you don't come and you try to read Quran. You say, I'm doing something good, I'm reading Quran. But you have this time to pray dhuhr. So everyone has to be involved in salat dhuhr, doing salat dhuhr, right? And there are many examples where people mathan tend to do something else, where the obligation of the time, or what is recommended on that specific time, is to do something else. This is another example. So he said, min ghayri ifratin wala tafreet. Ifrat is exaggeration or excessiveness, and tafreet is laxity or looseness. This is the definition of Ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, waqaribu. And this is a very important term here. He said, fasaddidu waqaribu. Because he knows alayhi salatu wasallam that no one is perfect. And no one will be able to get it right all the time, or hit his target all the time and achieve his mark all the time. He knows that we are humans, that we are weak, we have our own limitations, we have our own weaknesses. And then he said, you aim at your target. Qaribu means if you don't hit the core, the yellow area, you will be hitting the red surface beside it, right? Or the other blue surface, right? Qaribu, that means you're going to get it close. That's okay. And then he said, wa abshiru, rejoice, you know, receive good news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as you are trying your best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are trying your best to fulfill your Islamic duties. You know, you find someone, مثلا, sometimes a brother, this is something that I've seen brothers who, but then you meet him at 9 o'clock and he's very upset and he's angry. And why are you angry today? I didn't pray Fajr on time. Did you try your best? Alhamdulillah. Okay, if you try your best and you slept, that's okay, that's fine, because this is something that happened at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To the Sahaba and the Messenger of Allah, they were traveling and they slept over and didn't wake up until after sunrise. One time, not all the time. So we shouldn't memorize this hadith and say, that's okay, that's fine. So, but it's okay. I mean, if it happens to you, if you're trying your best all the time to pray Fajr on time, but one day you didn't wake up on time, you don't think that you are doomed. You'll be doomed. Khalas, you're gone. You're destroyed. No, you are a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to know, when He looks at your heart, that you are trying. You have a good intention. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you. To have a good intention to perform ibadat on time and to get closer to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically here, the translation is, fulfill your duties as best you can. قَارِبُ يعني you are not going to get it perfect. And perfection is not what is expected from the believers. They are not expected to be perfect. But if you get it close, that's okay. If your target is 100%, but you reach 80%, 70%, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, bless your efforts and bless your ibadat. As they say, aim for the moon. If you miss, you may hit what? You may hit a star, right? You get something. You get something. You aim at your target. If you miss it, you're going to hit an area beside it, inshallah, and you'll be close. وَلِذَلِكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالْ قَارِبُ. And then he said, وَأَبْشِرُوا. And this is a good news for the believers. As long as, as I said, you are trying your best, then receive the good news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala لا يضيع أجر المحسنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not waste the ajr, the reward of the muhsinin, those who are trying for excellence. If you are trying your best, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you your full rewards on the Day of Judgment. And actually Rasulullah s.a.w. in this hadith, when he said وَأَبْشِرُوا, he was fulfilling a command that was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an on different occasions, in different ayat, He commanded him to give good news, glad tidings to the believers. But in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُهُ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ قَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ يعني put forth some good deeds for yourselves. And this is very important to know. Yani when you pray, you're not making a favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you fast, you're not making a favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you give sadaqah, you're not just making a favor to Allah. No. Whatever you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you do it for your own benefit. You do it for your own self, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of our ibadat. This is something that has to be clear. Because there are people who do things and then they complain all the time and they make you feel like they are doing a favor by praying. Sometimes your children, when you deal with them, try to wake them for Salat al-Fajr, they make you feel like they are making a favor to you or to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, you are doing it for your own sake. And we need to explain this to them, that you're praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your own sake. You're praying to save yourself from hellfire, from the punishment of hellfire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he stood up on the Mount of As-Safa, he started with his daughter, Fatima. Fatima, radiallahu anha. He addressed some tribes from Quraysh, and he addressed some members from his family, and he included Fatima radiallahu anha. I'm not going to benefit you in any way. Save yourself, Fatima bint Muhammad. He mentioned his name, Fatima, daughter of Muhammad. Don't feel that, think that you are the daughter of the Prophet, then you'll be saved because of this family lineage. No, this will not save you on the Day of Judgment. He said, you need to work for your salvation. You save yourself from hellfire. So this is the message that we need to send to everyone and to our children and family members, that you are doing things for your own sake. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ فِيرَ اللَّهُ وَأَعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوهُ. Know that you will meet him. You will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an order to the Messenger of Allah, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Give glad tidings to those who are trying their best. The believers who are trying to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make their best, do their best. When it comes to their prayer, their fasting, their sadaqat, give them glad tidings. And this is something, this is important that du'at and educators and imams have to remember. Pay attention to this concept of giving bushra to the mu'mineen, giving glad tidings to the mu'mineen. Because there are people who focus all the time on the other side of the story, which is severe punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that one of the objectives of sending this book, revealing the book, the Qur'an, to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually is to give glad tidings to the believers. In Surah Al-Kahf, in the first ayat, if you look at the first ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ الْكِتَابَ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. يعني all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has sent down the book upon his servant. And he has not made therein any deviation. So this book is perfect. This is a shahada from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whatever is in the Qur'an, included in the Qur'an, we know that it was kept safe without any changes. No one was able to change anything in the Qur'an. So we believe that there is nothing crooked in this book. It is a perfect book that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if we read sometimes some ayat and we feel that could be very powerful, that's very strong, we might feel that, this is a harsh punishment, or this is or that. If this is the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least inside, we have to say, this is the hukm of Allah, and we have to believe in it, and we have to accept it, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, قَيِّمًا, he made it straight. لِيُنْذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِنْ لَدُنْهُ, to warn of a severe punishment from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first part of the story, or the first side of the story. And then he said, to give glad tidings to the believers, those who do righteous deeds, that they will have a good reward from their Lord. And they will, in which they will remain forever. This is the bushra that is given to the believers. Great reward here, Jannah. There is nothing else beside Jannah on the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said they will stay there forever. And this is a great news for the believers. But as you can see, there is a balance here in the ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, severe punishment from him. And he's talking about giving glad tidings, giving good news to the believers. We know, as I said, some educators, some imams, or some parents, even some parents who keep talking to their children about punishment of hellfire all the time. So this is how they introduce Allah to their children. That he's a severe God who punishes his servants all the time. He's eager to throw them in hellfire and punish them. This is not actually we're not doing anything good to our children if we give them this message. If we help them to get this impression about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about their Creator. Actually, with children, we have to focus more on the other side of the story. We have to talk to them about Jannah, because they are young children. They don't understand maybe the concept of punishment in the hellfire until they grow up and they study it by themselves. But when they are young, we try to focus on the concept of Jannah, giving glad tidings. If you do this, inshallah, you'll be Jannah, you'll be rewarded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy with you, and so on. And I got some complaint from some brothers. They said, I know some imams who talk all the time about, warnings and hellfire and punishment. So this is something that, and actually it is a deviation from the middle path. Because here we have to make a balance when we make da'wah, when we talk to people, especially the Muslimin. Some Muslims might feel that some imams are angry all the time. It might apply to me, I mean, sometimes I feel about myself. Yeah, that, you know, I should have maybe said it in a nice way. I'm honest. I'm trying to be honest with you. We are humans. Sometimes we get angry, and we feel at the end of the khutbah that maybe that was not necessary. But sometimes if you know what the imam are learning from the community and the way they interact with the community and they know about problems and issues, you don't blame them. But still, we need to pay attention to this balanced way of making da'wah and delivering the message to the believer, to the believers. طيب. At the end, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he advised the Muslimin, the believers, to manage their time. So he said, "Ista'inu bil ghadwati wal rawha wa shay'in min ad-dulja." You know, rely upon the efforts of the morning and the efforts of the evening and a little at night. He's making a comparison between the believer who is traveling towards al-akhirah, as-saliku, al-mu'min, yasluku tariqan ila al-jannah. So he's taking a path. And the last or the end of this path is al-akhirah. So you are traveling in this life. You're making a trip. And comparing the journey of the mu'min, of the believer, with the journey of a traveling person who is traveling on this land. At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the traveling people used to take advantage of the early morning because the weather is nice. It's not hot. You know the Arabian Peninsula, you know the weather in the Arabian Peninsula, it's very harsh in the middle of the day. So they used to take advantage of the morning time. So Rawha, it's the early morning. Al-Ghadwa. He started with Al-Ghadwa. Is traveling in the early morning. And that was their habit. They travel after Fajr, and they continue till maybe Duha time, and then they stop to take a rest, and they wait. They don't travel in the middle of the day. It's very hot. They wait maybe till Asr time, and then they continue their journey. So he's telling the believer, try to organize your time the way the traveling person manages his travel or his trip in the Arabian Peninsula. Maybe in the different environment, the story could be different. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in that environment. And he's giving example, he was talking to the Sahaba and to the Ummah of the Sahaba at the time. But alhamdulillah, the meaning is clear and we can learn from this lesson. These are examples. This is a figurative speech, or he's making a comparison here. So, sorry. So it's about time management here. So he said, basically the message to the believers, take advantage of the early morning. And that was his sunnah, alayhi salatu wasalam. That was his habit, that when after he performed salat al-fajr, he would sit in his place and make dhikr, or read Quran, until sunrise. And then he would pray duha or shuruq. Duha and shuruq are the same, but they are called, the two rak'ahs are called shuruq when they are done just 15 minutes or 20 minutes after sunrise. If the two rak'ahs are prayed, مثلا, at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, they are called the sunnah of duha. And by the way, it's nice to offer it these days if you can do it, because we need to, or we are supposed to increase our ibadah during these days. If we have time, we might mention a few things about the excellence of these 10 days. And I'm sure maybe the imams talked about, you know, this subject today, because it's a very important subject. But my point here is, that was his sunnah, alayhi salatu wasalam. He used to take advantage of this, the freshness of the morning. He's fresh, he has energy, the person has energy. And you can achieve, you can read Quran, you can make dhikr. Even if you have to leave the masjid, you can make dhikr while driving, for example, to your house or to your place of work. You can do the morning and the morning supplications, morning and evening supplications, adhkar al-sabah while driving. So you take advantage of this time because it's a beautiful time. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said al-rawha. Al-rawha, as I said, it is a time from zawal till maghrib. But it was not their habit to travel during the middle of the day. They used to avoid the heat of the middle of the day in that environment. So they used maybe to travel at the in the late afternoon. So Rasulullah ﷺ is like saying that, I know that you will be busy during the day, doing your business or trade or buying and selling or doing your work. But take advantage of this time in the early morning, and take advantage of the evening time, which is, for example, between Asr and Maghrib. You are free. It's a free time now. And you can do, مثلا, أذكار المساء, the evening supplications after you offer your salah, salat al-asr. And he said, وَشَيْءٍ مِنَ الدُّلْجَ, a little from, a little at night. And he knows that it is very difficult to people, you know, to keep worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during nighttime. Nighttime, it was meant for rest. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform Qiyam al-Layl. So if you can dedicate some time from the night to perform some ibadat, pray some sunan after Isha, and make some dhikr, or wake up before Fajr and make some istighfar. So this is the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Manage your time, take advantage of these good times, and you will reach your goal. That was his nasiha, you know, given to the mu'mineen or to the believers. Which means don't keep traveling 24 hours because you will give up. You get tired and you will be defeated and you cannot continue. And here when it comes to practicing the religion, you know, this is a figurative speech or a comparison. You look at some people, some young people who come back to the religion forcefully and they want to be perfect and to do everything at the same time. Wallahi, we know many of them who gave up. Gave up even practicing the deen. They stopped coming back to the masajid. And they are not involved with the community. Because they want to be like, they started, even some of them, they started actually labeling some family members with takfir or, you know, or judging other people. They became very judgmental. You know, this is not the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you start judging people after you came back to the religion, then you should what? You should remember your days of jahiliyyah. You should remember that before, just a while ago, you were not practicing the religion. And you needed someone to be nice to you. You needed someone to have some hikmah when dealing with you and talking to you and making da'wah, inviting you to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you would love it if someone uses some hikmah when talking to you and advising you to come back to the deen. Now you came back to the deen and you start judging people and you became like Imam. You think that you are a great imam or a great scholar and you have the right to pass judgment over people? No, this is not the right thing to do. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. In a different hadith, Rasulullah s.a.w. said, عَلَيْكُمْ هَدْيًا قَاصِدًا فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يُغَالِبْ هَذَا الدِّينَ يَغْلِبْهُ. هذا الحديث رواه الإمام حاكم وصححه الحاكم وفقه الذهبي رواه الإمام أحمد وقيل أنه حديث حسن. So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, same meaning. He said, maintain a middle course of action. For whoever goes to extremes will be overwhelmed or defeated. And here I would like to mention some stories that, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thinks that happened at his time, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he had to deal with them. He had to correct people and give them some instructions about how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. So we got, مثلاً, the story of Abu Israel. Abu Israel, that was his name, a man from Quraysh. He was not a Jew or a Christian. But that is his name, Abu Israel. He was from Banu Amir, from Quraysh, the tribe of Quraysh. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving a sermon, a khutbah. And then he saw a man standing up under the heat of the sun. So he asked about him. He said, who is this man? And the Sahaba, it looks that Rasulullah ﷺ was not familiar with his face, or Allahu alam, but he asked about him. So the Sahaba told him that he is Abu Israel, his name is Abu Israel, and he made an oath, look at this weird oath, to stand up and not to sit, and to never stay under any shade. That means he has to stay under the heat of the sun all the time. Not to speak to anyone. Not to speak to anyone and to fast. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, he told his companions, because he was giving a sermon maybe inside on the minbar, he saw him outside, go and tell him that he should sit down and sit under a shade and speak, but he should complete his fasting. So the only thing that he approved, alayhi salatu wasalam, is what? Fasting, because it's easy for him to complete his fasting, and it is an ibadah, and most likely he will be rewarded, inshallah, for this ibadah. In a different version, he said, "Inna Allaha ghaniyun an ta'dhibi hadha nafsahu." Inna Allaha ghaniyun an ta'dhibi hadha nafsahu. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need for this man to torture himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want you to torture yourself when worshipping Him. So this is a very actually beautiful example that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here dealt with. And a different story, there was a woman who made an oath that she will go making Hajj. And that was very common, by the way, in the old days. But at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he dealt with it. She made an oath that she will go to Hajj walking. Well, she was able to have a ride. She was going maybe with a caravan, people were riding camels and riding horses and everything, but she decided to walk. So Rasulullah ﷺ addressed her sister, and he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْ تَعْذِيبِ أُخْتِكِ نَفْسَهَا مُرِيهَا فَالْتَرْكَمْ. He said, Allah is not in need for your sister to torture herself. Ask her to have a ride. That was the instruction of Rasulullah ﷺ, you know, to these people who felt. They felt. It's a ijtihad. You know, it's a personal interpretation. They thought that, or a personal choice, but it's a wrong choice. They felt that maybe if they torture themselves, if they choose the most difficult path, then they will have more reward. And they will be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, no, this is not the case. And Abdullah ibn Amr, his story, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, not Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. So he said, and this his story is in Sahih al-Bukhari, his father helped him to get married with a woman of a noble lineage from Quraysh. So he said, but I did not pay attention to, when I met her, I did not pay attention to her rights, because I was busy with performing acts of ibadat. So mashallah, he had energy, he had power, strength. Abdullah ibn Amr, he was young, he felt that he should spend all his time, you know, in performing acts of ibadat. It's amazing, eh? He got married. And he didn't do anything. And Abdullah and Amr ibn al-As came to her, to his daughter-in-law, asking her, كَيْفَ حَالُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ مَعَكِ. So how did you find Abdullah? And she answered, she said, نِعْمَ الرَّجُلُ نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ لِرَبِّهِ رَجُلٌ لَمْ يُفَتِّشْ لَنَا كَنَفًا وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ لَنَا فِرَاشًا. So she was frank. She was honest with her father-in-law. She said, he is a wonderful, amazing servant of Allah. But he is someone who did not pay attention to me, and he did not sleep in my bed. She was honest, subhanAllah, and this is okay, because in this case, her rights are neglected, and this is a Sharia issue. But that was due to his understanding, Abdullah ibn Amr, radiyallahu anhu. So anyway, Amr ibn As was very upset with his son, and he said, "I helped you to get married with a woman of a noble lineage from Quraysh, neglected her rights." He went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he complained about his son. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam da'a, you know, Abdullah ibn Amr. He said, "Come." He said, "Atasumu an-nahar? Do you fast during the day?" He said, "Na'am, yes." "Ataqumu al-layl? Do you pray at night?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Walakinni asumu wa aftir wa usalli wa anamu wa usalli wa aqum wa atazawwaju an-nisa, faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni." He said, "I fast and I take a break some other times, or I break my fast on other days. And I stand up for prayer, and I sleep, and I get married with woman. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَن سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي." And this is a warning, actually. This is a very strong warning from Rasulullah ﷺ to those people who go to extremes. He said, "Man raghiba an sunnati," whoever rejects my sunnah, he's not of me. Which means he's not one of my followers. And imagine, yani Rasulullah ﷺ telling you, you're not one of my followers. What will be your reaction? This is a very strong warning from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Quran, as I said, has confirmed yani this meaning. مثلا, in different ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Baqarah, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the concessions of that were given to the fasting people. If you are traveling, you have the right to break the fast. You are sick, you have the right to break the fast, and then you make up those days later on. He said, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah intends for you ease, and He does not wish to place any difficulty upon you. That is the moderate way of Islam, the moderate path of Islam. It is confirmed through ayat in the Quran, through hadith Rasulullah ﷺ. When it comes to da'wah and interaction or social interactions with people, and I would like to mention only two examples. There are many examples, but tonight I would like to mention two examples. And I will ask you first, if we don't have a hadith, what would be our reaction? An A'rabi, a Bedouin, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, أخبرني ماذا فرض الله علي من الصلاة. ماذا فرض الله علي من الصلاة. He said, خمس صلوات إلا أن تطوع. And by the way, يعني, but at the end we'll make a comment about this, but let's finish the hadith. So he said, خمس صلوات. He said, tell me about my obligations in regards to salat. What are the obligatory, what is obligatory upon me, when it comes to performing salat? So he said, five prayers, unless you want to add. Unless you want to, perform some voluntary prayers. And then he said, أخبرني ماذا فرض الله علي من الصيام. Tell me about what Allah has made or what Allah has prescribed upon me as an obligatory fasting. And then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, شهر رمضان, صيام شهر رمضان, إلا أن تطوع. So he said, the fasting of the month of Ramadan, unless you want to fast some extra days. And then he said, ask him about the salat and about zakat. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told him about, the prescribed amount of zakat. And he told him about some shara'i', some obligations. And then the man, at the end, he said, وَالَّذِي أَكْرَمَكَ بِالْحَقِّ. This is a Bedouin who came from the desert, the countryside. He doesn't live in Medina. He just want to learn the minimum. What are his obligations? He's very honest. He's very honest, and he's not, he's not being fake or anything. So he said, "Wallahi akramaka bil haq," by the one who honored you with this message, with this honorable message. لا أتطوع ولا أنقص مما فرض الله علي شيئا. I'm not going to add anything. I'm not going to pray any voluntary prayers. I'm not going to fast any extra days. He's honest, right? وَلَا أَنْقُصُ مِمَّا فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ شَيْئًا. You know, when I thought about this hadith, I was honest with myself. If someone came to me, or comes to me, with this message, and makes this statement in front of me, and I don't know about this hadith, because I know the hadith, now I'll follow the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, right? But let's say that I don't know the hadith. I'll be honest with you, what will be our reaction? I might ask him, Do you watch TV? Do you watch hockey? Do you listen to music? Do you do that? Do you have time to check your Facebook? Do you have time to check your emails? And if he tells me yes, 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 brother, do you have time to do all these things? And you don't have time to pray some extra prayers?
No, you can't guarantee that.
Huh?
No, you can't guarantee that. You won't miss any follow, right? That's another
thing. Yeah, but look at the reaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Huh? I'll tell you about his reaction, the statement that Rasulullah ﷺ made. I know what this is a good point you're making, but we have to have a balance. أفلح إن صدق أو دخل الجنة إن صدق. This is very important. I have to explain it. Jazakallah khair. So, and the brother is making good point, because Rasulullah ﷺ made a statement. He said, "Aflaha in sadaq." Yani he will be successful if he's saying the truth. Because what did he say? "I'm not going to add anything, but I'm not going to decrease." So that means 5 times, I will pray the 5 times prayer on time, properly. Month of Ramadan, I'm going to pray the 30 days of Ramadan. If there is some amount of zakat, I will pay it. No extra charity. So this is what Allah wants you to do. But if you do all these things with good intention, doing them for the sake of Allah, do you think Allah will send you to hellfire? Tell me the answer. No, because you fulfilled your obligations. Because you will not be taken to account for neglecting what? Something recommended. But this is not, I'm not encouraging you to neglect your sunan, by the way. Why? Because the point the brother is making is good. Why? He said, what is the guarantee that you will do these things properly? So you need some extra things. What is the purpose of doing ibadat, extra prayers? To make up for any shortcoming in the obligatory prayers. Right?
Yes.
Let's say you didn't wake up for Fajr, you neglected, you didn't pray this day, you didn't pray Asr on time. So you need some help from other voluntary prayers. Let's say zakat, you didn't calculate zakat properly. You missed some zakat. You didn't, forgot about something. And then so this sadaqah will help you. Will make up for any shortcomings when paying zakat, for example. Fasting, the same thing, right? So it's good actually to add these things. But look at the reaction of Rasulullah ﷺ. So Rasulullah ﷺ actually is giving him a good tiding here. He's giving him good news. أَفْلَحَ إِن صَدَقْ. Yani if he's saying the truth, if he will do what he said, fulfill his promise, he will be in Jannah. That is the promise of Rasulullah ﷺ, or the statement that was made by Rasulullah ﷺ. There is another example that is more powerful. About the guy, the Bedouin, who came to the masjid and he urinated in the masjid. It's a hadith. It's a story that took place at the time of Rasulullah. We need to learn from it. But imagine that we don't know about this hadith. Because if someone does it here, I have no choice. I have to remember the hadith, right? And the etiquette of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I will say, da'u. Just pour a bucket of water on it. And come, this masjid, we're not built for this purpose. Following the sunnah of Rasulullah. But let's say I don't know about the hadith. What will be our reaction? Maybe looking for a big stick and give him beat him up, or what will be our reaction? To be honest, if we don't know the hadith,
severe reaction.
Yeah, you are a Muslim. You're not a Muslim. You come to the masjid and but this is something that happened at the time for Rasulullah ﷺ, and the Sahaba were very upset. The Sahaba actually got up to beat him up because didn't imagine that a Muslim would do this. But Rasulullah ﷺ knew that he's a new Muslim, and he doesn't know, and he's a Bedouin. So looking at his circumstances and his condition, so he said, "Da'u, leave him." Leave him what? Leave him finish, and then pour some water on his urine, and then the water, of course, will deal with it. The water will remove the najasa, and then he called him. And now the ta'lim, time for ta'lim, ta'lim with hikmah. Inna hadhihi al-masajid lam tubna li shay'in min hadha. Innama buniyat lidh-dhikri was-salati wa qira'ati al-Qur'an. Yani this masajid, houses of Allah, were built for the purpose of reciting the Qur'an, performing the prayer, and remembering Allah. But this is the hikmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the beauty of his akhlaq and his manners, alayhi salatu wa salam. And also his knowledge, his patience, his hilm, alayhi salatu wa salam. He's our example. Of course, some Sahaba were very strict, and we talk about them. We laugh when we mention their stories, like Umar ibn Khattab and radiyallahu anhu. But we need always to look at what? The akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is our uswa, he is our qudwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that he is our example. We should follow his example, alayhi salatu wasalam, especially when we deal with these cases. That's why here, I'm telling you, I try to explain myself here. I'm not very harsh with children or with people who bring their children here. But I talk to them. I talk to them when they create some problems. on a person one to one, but I don't like to blame them in front of people, will scream at them, because I have seen these things happening in masajid, in some masajid. You know, people shouting after the salat. Why do you bring your children? Why do you do that? And you know, but there are some people who, مثلاً, his wife is not at home, or she is sick, and he likes to perform the salat with the jama'ah. So we need to be patient sometimes. And Rasulullah ﷺ was very patient with children. We try to follow his sunnah. But these are beautiful examples about following the path of moderation, being moderate, being balanced when you deal with people. But if Rasulullah ﷺ knows that the person knows the hukm, and he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on purpose, he might be angry, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he might be strict in his delivery, in his message, in his explanation, alayhi salatu wasalam. But most of the time, he was kind, he was nice, and he used to use hikmah when talking to his companions, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is what I need to say tonight about this subject, but Allah, inshallah, give you a chance now to ask questions if you have questions. And then we'll talk about some other issues. And this subject, as I said, is a broad subject. So we can deal with it from different angles. And the problem is of takfir. You know, going to extreme when dealing with the problem of takfir is another subject that is very complicated. One of the subjects of aqidah that needs to be dealt with, clarified. That's a different issue. But here, at least today, we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to advise people to follow a moderate path when obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or doing the acts of ibadat, and we just get an idea about the general methodology of Islam in this area, and also when it comes to the area of dealing with people and doing da'wah. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك.